Hey, friend, you're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. This is Mario Fennell for WUSB in Stony Brook.
Stay tuned for brain damage.
Oh, please.
You know that death is not always final. Recognizing it can be a rather tricky business. Various states of coma, epilepsy, hypothermia, or trance can mimic death pretty accurately. Dr. Perron Ottrett has estimated that as many as 200 American coronary victims are buried alive annually. While Professor H.J. Malek of Tübingen maintains that every year, about 20 people in West Germany suffer a similar fate. I remember years ago, when I was a paste-up artist on the British Library updated catalog, being amused by the mention of the Association for the Prevention of Premature Burial. But statistics show that the fear of such a fate is not entirely irrational or just a morbid imagination of Edgar Allan Poe. The power of suspended animation has long been claimed by yogis. There is the famous story of one called Haridas, who demonstrated this talent before the Raya Ranjit Singh in Lahore in the summer of 1837. He fell into a trance. Assistants stopped up his orifices with wax, wrapped him in a winding cloth, and buried him deep in the earth. A guard was placed above the spot, and he was not dug up for 10 days. He was slightly emaciated, but otherwise in good shape. François de Seville, according to his tombstone in Milan, was declared dead in 1562 and was buried. 6 hours later, on the intuition of his brother, he was disinterred and revived. He lived 70 years longer, dying at the age of 105 from a cold contracted while serenading the lady of his heart all night long. On August 17, 1901, storm clouds gathered over Hanston, Kansas, as a horse-drawn hearse led a solemn procession to the cemetery. Inside the hearse, in a metallic coffin, lay the body of a 5-year-old daughter of Samuel McPreeze, a local farmer. Mourners noticed a peculiar, soft, mellow light in the sky. The hearse was struck by lightning. The bolt knocked down both horses, stunned the driver, and burst open the coffin. Mourners found the dead girl sitting up crying for her mother. Her parents believe the bolt was sent as a miracle, and the people of the vicinity speak of it in whispers, reported the Cincinnati Enquirer. Physicians declare the little girl was in a cataleptic condition and the shock revived her, but many residents believe she was dead and came back to life. In the summer of 1915, Dr. D.K. Briggs of Blackville, South Carolina, answered a call to attend a 30-year-old black woman called Essie Dunbar, who had suffered an attack of epilepsy. He could find no signs of life and pronounced her dead. Her family placed her in a homemade wooden coffin and arranged the funeral for 11 o'clock the next morning to give Essie's sister, who lived in Allendale, an opportunity to get to Blackville by train in time. 3 preachers each took a turn at the rostrum, and after the service, the coffin was opened so that the assembled mourners could take one last look at poor Essie. The sister from Allendale hadn't arrived. After some hesitation and a final prayer, the coffin was lowered into the 6-foot hole. When there was a foot and a half of earth on top of the coffin, the mournful chant was heard from the bottom of the hill. Gotta see Paul Essie one more time. Gotta see Paul Essie one more time. It was the sister, clapping her hands and chanting as she came. The minister agreed to dig up the coffin, and when the screws were removed and the lid opened, Essie sat up and smiled a greeting to her sister. The 3 ministers fell backwards into the grave, the shortest receiving 3 broken ribs when the other 2 trampled him in an effort to climb out. The rest of the mourners, including Essie's sister, fled in horror. Essie, unaware of the situation, joined in the stampede. And horror turned to panic when they saw the ghost chasing them. For many years, Essie was a haunted woman, and none of her race would come near her. In her final years, Essie had lots of friends. She died for the last time on May 22, 1962, according to the Augusta, Georgia Chronicle. There was no great shock to her family when Callan Ben Balabi died on January 2, 1989, at the age of 100 in Malanka Village near Rajkot in Gujarat. They took her to the cremation ground and placed her on the funeral pyre. As the relatives prepared to light the pyre, the dead woman sat up and demanded to be taken home. Her flat had been let to Amwan and Salim Kahan by her son, Luksan. When she returned from the crematorium, Mrs. Balabai flew into a rage and threw some of the Kahan's furniture out of the windows before calling the police. Look it up. The Press Trust of India, January 4th. Times of India, January 5th, 1989. 49-year-old Muattag Zafar al-Sharani from Azir in southern Saudi Arabia was fixing a windmill when one of the vanes knocked him unconscious. When his family failed to revive him, they thought he was dead, and they buried him. About 27 hours later, he awoke to the sound of hoofs from grazing sheep walking above his grave. Shepherds heard his screams and dug him up. He walked home in his burial shroud. The newspaper Al Riyad quotes him as saying that when his mother and sister saw him, they went mad and dropped dead. The story could not be officially corroborated. Reuters, August 17, 1989. The French paper Quotidien in Réunion added that he went mad as well and was sent to an asylum. Kasmani, a 40-year-old man from the village of Tassari in central Java, insisted on being buried to receive divine revelations. Police warned against it, but he said, "Only God can tell us how humans die." He was buried without food or oxygen. 7 days later, watched by a large crowd, he stepped calmly out of the grave and went home. Relatives said he was in good condition. From RST Zeitung, September 11, 1989. A Romanian woman fainted when she opened her front door in Bucharest to see her husband, Niugu, 71 years old, back from the grave. Niugu had collapsed, coughing after swallowing a fishbone, and had apparently stopped breathing. The family doctor, who knew Niugu had a bad heart, confirmed that he had died of a heart attack. 3 days after he was buried, gravediggers at the cemetery heard him knocking and found him lying in the coffin among wilted flowers. On his return home, he found his wife and children would have nothing to do with him. His wife, fearing he was a ghost, barred him from spending nights at home. His two sons told him to stay well away from his grandsons. And it took Niugu 3 weeks to convince the police, town hall officials, doctors, and priests to erase his death from their registers. And that from Reuters, July 20th. 1991. My favorite Romanian story of this kind comes from a clipping kept for many years in my father's wallet. Mourners at the burial of Anna Bolshinsky of Moinaiski in Romania were astonished to see the dead woman jump out of her coffin while it was being carried with the lid open, as was the custom. From the cemetery chapel to the grave. She ran into the road and was run over and killed by a car. When a hearse carrying Theodora Zaiti's body crashed into a tree at Toluca, Mexico, mourners were surprised to hear a voice from the coffin shout, "I'm not dead, please don't bury me." From The People, August 19, 1990. Saved by the crash is a recurrent motif. Here's another. A tire burst on the hearse carrying Jerry Allison to his funeral in Los Angeles. The hearse overturned and crashed into the window of a rival undertaker's parlor. Allison was seen stepping out of the shattered glass, dressed in white burial robes. The crash had revived him from a coma that had been mistaken for death. From Weekend, September 14, 1977. The detail about the rival undertaker makes me think this one is folkloric. And that article was written by Paul Sivaking of the Fortean Times. And more recently from the Associated Press. When Denise Dieter walked into her apartment the day after her family thought she died, her hysterical roommate could only say, "You better call your dad." "I thought somebody in my family died," Dieter said in a telephone interview. She called her father's home in Philadelphia, and her stepmother, Patty Dieter, answered. "I said, hey, Patty, what's up?" She was stunned. She said, "Denise, they're planning your funeral. Where the hell are you?" My father grabbed the phone. He was hysterical. He kept saying, "Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God." At this point, I knew they thought I was dead. Her stepfather and grandfather had identified her as the mangled victim of a September 14th car crash. Dieter, 23, a second-year student at Widener Law School's Harrisburg campus, had been invited to a picnic that day and changed her mind about going. The person who took her place and who had died in the car that missed a curve resembled her, even to the same earrings. And what they don't say is that while somebody who was thought to be dead turned out to be alive, somebody who was thought to be alive was actually dead.
Just as a clue, he was 12 years old, fell from the roof on East 29. Kathy was 11 when she pulled the plug, 26 reds and a bottle of wine. Bobby had leukemia, 14 years old, he lived at 55 when he died. He was a friend of mine. In Upper Manhattan, flying in Vietnam, bullet in the head. Bobby OD'd on Drano on the night that he was wet. There were two more friends of mine, two more friends that died. Married to the driver
tied up from a hotel room. Bobby hung himself from a cell in the tombs. Judy jumped in front of a subway train. Eddie got slit in the jugular vein. And Eddie, I miss you more than all the others. And I salute you, brother.
Program is Brain Damage. Your calls are welcome. Area code 516-632-6901. We don't have to talk about that, but hey, it's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Herbie pushed Tony from the Boys Club roof. Tony thought that his rage was just some goof, but Herbie sure gave Tony some suspicious proof. And Herbie said, Tony, can you fly? But Tony couldn't fly. Tony died. On a narco rap, he beat the rap by ratting on some bikers. He said, hey, I know it's dangerous, but it sure beats Rikers. But the next day, he got offed by the very same biker.
Feeling morbid this morning. People Who Died by Jim Carroll. I've heard that one in quite some time, I guess. And before that, a story of all these dead people that came to us. And all kinds of other stories exist. I'm sure everybody out there has a story of someone they know who died and then decided to come back. Or just happened to come back without any real decision-making on their part. 632-6901. We don't have to be morbid, but as I said, it's, you know, it's a thing to do these days with, you know, mass murders and Supreme Court nominees and all kinds of scary, horrible things like that. Let's depart from this lunacy for a moment. This is Brain Damage. We're on the air until 2 o'clock. Let's see who's out there. Good morning.
Hi, I wanted to share a nice poem with you here.
Okay, this is a good night for poetry.
Kind of goes along with that interesting, you know, introduction you had, which I kind of enjoyed.
That's good. We do things so people enjoy them.
It is by a contemporary guy by the name of James Hetfield. It's a poem called Trapped Under Ice. It goes, I don't know how to live through this hell. I've woken up and I'm still locked in this shell. Frozen soul, I'm frozen down to the core. Break the ice, I can't take anymore. Freezing, can't move at all. Screaming, can't hear my call. I am dying to live, cry out, I'm trapped under ice. Crystallize, as I lie here at rest, eyes of glass stare directly at death. From deep sleep, I have broken away. No one knows, no one hears what I say. Once again, it goes back to the freezing, can't move at all, screaming, can't hear my call. I am dying to live, cry out, I'm trapped under ice. Scream from my soul, fate mystified, hell forevermore. No release from my chronic state. What is this? I have been stricken by fate. Wrapped up tight, cannot move, can't break free. The hand of doom has a tight grip on me. Freezing, can't move at all. Screaming, can't hear my call. I am dying to live, cry out, I'm trapped under ice.
That's the end?
Yep.
Doesn't he ever get out?
Nope.
Oh, wow. So he must have written that when he was down there, and then I guess it sort of floated up.
Possibly.
At the end or something like that. I hate it when that happens.
Hell yeah. It's not too cool. You know?
No, it's not. It's a lot harder to get back up than people think.
Especially like when people are like looking in at you.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you're like banging on the ice.
And
you
they
know?
Block all the light when they do that.
Yeah, it's not too cool.
No, even with hypothermia and all, you know, you can live a little longer. It's still not, you know, not all that much fun.
As a matter of fact, though, my aunt, her fiancé, was playing hockey when he was younger on a lake. And believe it or not, he found some old lady underneath the ice. She froze to death under the ice. And she was, like, in a position like she was banging on the ice trying to get out. And she froze there.
Wow.
Not a joke. I'm being serious. This is someplace in Smithtown.
Well, I can tell by the way you're giggling that it's not a joke, but...
It sounds funny, but, you know, cause, you know, I look at death as a joke because I really don't care, but...
Well, no, this is how you're supposed to look at it. Life is a sin and death is the punishment.
But if you look at it this way... You know, when you're born, the only thing that's certain is that you're going to die, so...
That's true.
So, I mean, you're born to die.
And everybody that's ever lived has gone to the same fate.
Yeah.
And nobody knows what lies beyond.
Well, why don't we find out? Let's give him a call tonight, Eric.
Not even Clarence Thomas knows what lies beyond.
Oh, yeah. I got to ask you one question.
Yeah.
You know how you have this confuse the operator thing?
Yeah, we've confused almost all the operators.
Well, here. I've gotten this little thing, and I've been looking for the number for the Ku Klux Klan.
Uh-huh.
Because I just want to give them a call and see what they have to say. Not that I'm, you know, prejudiced or anything. I just want to, like, annoy them. Because I'm, like, an annoying kind of guy.
Are you prejudiced against the Ku Klux Klan?
No, I just like to bother people like that.
If anything I can't stand, it's a racist. All right, well, what are you going to do to these poor people?
Well, I just want to, like, call them and give them a hard time, but I can't find the number.
Well, they're all over the place. It's hard to get, like, a central number because they're everywhere. Do you know that the Ku Klux Klan are running for governor of Louisiana tonight?
Yeah, David Duke.
And he's... Look at this. Do you see this? It's still a cliffhanger in Louisiana where voters went to the polls today to pick two candidates in the free-for-all gubernatorial primary with 45% of precincts reporting ex-Klansman David Duke led with 32%. He's in first place. He's in first place, and, you know, you can never say ex-Klansman. There's no such thing as an ex-Klansman.
And he changed his ways.
Yeah, he changed his ways so he could win some elections. But, you know, you don't change your ways when you become someone
like that. I don't think it's fair. Like, I couldn't find the number for the Klan, but they gave me the NAACP real fast.
Yeah, well, I would imagine they...
Sometimes when I answered a Klan, I was hung up on.
Uh-huh. Well, I'd hang up on you, too, if I was an operator and you asked me for that number.
A couple of them, like, especially the one in Montgomery, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
If she's listening, which I don't think she is, but she was very polite. She, you know, she politely said, you know, call me sir and all that stuff. Politely said that she couldn't find the number and all that cool stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, like... I want the number to call, you know, bother these people. Just say, yeah, you guys are fools, you know.
Well, okay, I can do one thing for you, and if you turn on your radio now, you'll hear me doing you a big favor.
Yeah?
Okay, so run over to your radio and listen to this, because I'm only going to do this once.
Sure thing, buddy.
Okay. And do I have a vital bit of information that I need? No, I don't think I have it in my head. Have a potential. I think it's a 5, but it's. I need 2 more numbers. So what I'm going to do here is call our trusty operator here. I'm not trying to confuse her this time. I'm trying to elicit her help, or his help, whichever. It doesn't matter. It's help. Oh, wait a minute. I think I remembered. I don't need you, operator. Forget it. I just remember the area code for Louisiana, which I believe is 504. Pretty sure. Hello?
Can I help you?
Is this New Orleans?
Yes.
Oh, great. I need the phone number for the campaign headquarters of David Duke.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
The number is...
Here we go.
831-7745. Repeat. 831-7745. Thank you for calling.
Bye. Okay, so if you want to harass the Klan, well, you can't really harass the Klan because I don't have a number for that, but you can harass a quote-unquote former Klansman, or at least call him on probably the greatest night of his life when he's about to win the nomination for, I guess it's Republican. I don't think it's Democrat. Republican nominee for governor of Louisiana, David Duke. We followed this a couple of years ago on this very program and saw him get elected as a, to the state government on a much lower scale. But now he's stepping up to governor. Who knows? Maybe he'll be senator someday. And dare I say it, president. Well, couldn't be more interesting than things are now. Anyway, that number again, if you want to call. I don't want to call, but if you want to call, it's 504-831-7745. And since our teletype machine has just died, I'm going to have to depend on our listeners to tell me if he actually won. So keep your... I don't know how you're going to do that. Maybe some people can keep calling this number and asking them if he's won yet. Although I imagine it's probably going to be busy. But keep your ears open. It's probably something that's going to happen out there. Our number, though, that is not busy at the moment is 632-6901, area code 516. Do give us a call. Good morning.
Yes, what would you do for a Klondike bar?
I'm sorry?
What would you do for a Klondike bar? You know, those ice cream bars with the chocolate on the outside and the vanilla on the inside?
How do you spell that?
Klondike.
Oh, Klondike, okay. I don't know. What would I do for one of those? I kind of like Dove bars myself.
Okay, then what would you do for a Dove bar?
What would I do? Well, I'd ask for one politely, I suppose. Am I supposed to do more for that?
Crazy, what would you do?
I'm sorry?
If they ask you to do something really crazy, what would you do?
Really crazy?
Yeah.
Maybe I'd call David Duke and congratulate him or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I already
got
an ice pick in his ear and he dropped out of the election.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you see, our teletype hasn't told us that because it's dead.
I just thought I'd just tell you that because I just overheard you saying on the radio that your teletype...
Okay, well, we have some people trying to get confirmation on that story, but I want to thank you for the scoop.
Uh-huh.
No pun intended.
So, exactly what would you do for a Klondike bar, then?
Is it just one kind of Klondike bar?
Well, you can have like, chocolate with vanilla ice cream on the outside. You can have, like frozen strawberry on the outside with vanilla ice cream. You can have, like, chocolate.
No, for those kind of things, chocolate and vanilla are the only two things you want to do. You don't want to mix strawberry up in there.
Well, you can.
Well, yeah, but you don't want to do that. You know, that sort of takes away from the sanctity of it.
Mm-hmm.
I would, put the chocolate on the outside, the vanilla on the inside. That way you get a better aftertaste.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's
Would you, like, cockle like a chicken or something for one?
I can't do that. I've tried.
Uh-huh.
I even took a course. I cannot do that, no.
Uh-huh.
I can moo like a cow.
Wait, where did you take the course?
Do I have to say?
Yeah.
All right. Ward Melville High School, night school.
Really?
Yes.
You got the number for that?
Farm animals. It was farm animal reproduction type of sounds.
You got the number for that?
The actual course number? No, I don't. It's in the guide, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They teach a similar course.
I need another credit to graduate high school, so I think I'm going to take that.
Uh-huh. It's a good idea. You meet a lot of interesting people.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, though. We're going to move on to another call.
Thanks.
All right. We have lots of people out there tonight. Lots of people. There's something going on. We all know that. Good evening.
Yeah, Eric, I just called that David Duke number that you gave me so quietly.
Yeah, what happened?
And it seems, as a matter of fact, he's won.
Uh-oh.
He went out and lynched 14 black guys.
Oh, that's not funny. That's not funny.
No, but it's true. That's what they told me.
Get it on tape, and I will believe you.
Okay.
All right. 632-6901. After Jimmy Swaggart's family said he was stepping down from the pulpit in a scandal involving a prostitute, the evangelist has announced that he would return to preaching because God had told him to do so. Mr. Swaggart refused to talk about an incident on October 11th in which he was stopped by the police in Indio, California, and charged with traffic violations. A woman who was with him in his car later identified herself as a prostitute whom he had solicited for sex. Yep. It's in the Associated Press. It's got to be true. The Lord told me it's flat none of your business, Mr. Swaggart told his congregation Wednesday night at the Family Worship Center in Baton Rouge, part of his Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. Mr. Swaggart was forced to resign in 1988 from the Assemblies of God, the nation's largest Pentecostal denomination, after a rival preacher, Marvin Gorman, circulated photographs of him with a prostitute. On Tuesday, 4 days after the latest incident, his son, Donnie, announced that Mr. Swaggart was stepping down from his own ministry for an indefinite period to get medical and spiritual help. Six three two 6901. Fill those lines, we'll go to the phones. Good evening.
Hi, this is Raymond Babby.
How you doing?
Very good. Do you mind about shirts at Kmart?
What about Kmart?
Do you buy boxer shirts there?
Do I buy boxer shirts there?
Boxer shorts.
Boxer shorts. No, I don't go there.
I buy boxer shirts at Kmart.
Well, Kmart's a good place to go for lots of things.
I'm an excellent driver.
You're an excellent driver?
Yeah.
Do you drive to Kmart?
Yeah. That would be just as well.
Uh-huh.
Kmart.
Kmart's the place to hang out and meet people.
It certainly is. Oh, also, are you familiar with the Detroit Lions?
The Detroit Lions are a football team in the latter 20th century on planet Earth.
Right, well, I just wonder if I can give them a cheer.
Thank you, a Bronx cheer for the Detroit Lions. Good evening.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Notice you're playing M.O.D.
Hey, you know, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened, but there they are, yeah.
I like them.
Is it considered uncouth to speak over them?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, we're talking over them and they're in the background and maybe, I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody.
I don't know. They broke up, so I don't think anybody's going to come bitching.
Okay. I hate offending people, though. What's on your mind?
I noticed on the Clarence Thomas trial thing there.
It wasn't a trial.
Whatever the thing is, you know.
I know what you mean, but it wasn't a trial.
They kept saying bestiality is bestiality.
Well, they kept saying harassment, too, you know? Nobody corrected them.
But the woman on News 12 said harassment.
All the people in the media say harassment, and all the people on the streets say harassment.
Yeah.
I don't understand. It just shows how out of touch the media is.
I figured out who Thurman Thomas is, too.
Thurman Thomas?
I remember I kept saying Thurman Thomas last week.
Oh, yeah, you did. You had a big problem with that. Did you fix it?
Yeah, I figured out who the guy is.
Who is he?
He's like a running back for the Buffalo Bills.
Well, he certainly isn't running for the Supreme Court now, is he?
I don't think so. I think he's running for the Bills.
Yeah. I heard somebody say Clarence Hill.
Oh.
I wasn't aware that, you know, anything had transpired between them. But,
hey, do you listen to Howard Stern show?
Come on. Would I sound like this if I listened to Howard Stern?
He's had some pretty funny stuff on. He had, like, a song about the whole Thomas Hill thing. It was pretty funny. He was abusing him.
Well, now, how can he always get songs? I mean, where does he get these songs from?
Makes them.
He makes them?
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people help him out, you know?
Got a lot of assistants and whatnot, but...
I'd like to get some material from our listeners, because I know we have some talented people out there.
Yeah?
If they got up off their asses and did something, we would be playing it here now, yes.
We'll write you a song and mail it to you.
Oh, you know our address, right?
Yeah, we got it last week. We'll come up with something.
Okay, we'll see that you do, because that's very important.
Yeah.
And what do you think of David Duke apparently winning the election down there?
I don't know. I guess anybody gets to run. That's what the people want. That's what the people get.
You think that's what the people want?
Oh, well, everybody voted for him.
Yeah, I guess they did. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here.
Yep. Never get what you want in the government anyway. I mean, nobody wanted Thomas, and everybody, we got him anyway.
Well, we didn't vote for him. You know, if the American people had voted for him, that would have been interesting. But we never get to vote for anybody controversial.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like government for the people, by the people, but the people never get what they want.
Yeah. I prefer, you know, taking everything to a referendum of some sort.
You should overthrow the government or something.
Yeah, but, you know, that takes a lot of planning. It does. You know, you got to, like, make a lot of
press releases. Yeah, I'm officially denouncing
and...
the United States government right here.
That's true. Anything else on your mind?
I think we should take over the world, actually. I'm declaring our independence from the United States right now.
Who's us?
I guess Central Islip.
Central Islip?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I could get some supporters somewhere.
We were talking about Long Island seceding a couple of weeks ago, but it hasn't caught on, you know. I even sent a letter to Newsday, and they haven't printed it.
Maybe we should, like, secede from the county first and then build up to it.
Hey, you know, the county elections are coming up real soon. Who are you going to vote for?
I don't even know. I'll probably just be voting against people. Actually.
Well, who are you going to vote against?
I don't even know. It's just a lot of questions in my mind. Because, like, both of the guys are incompetent.
Well, do you know, one of the guys is a right-to-lifer.
Yeah, that's probably, like, the thing that's going to break the tie.
We're this close from electing a right-to-lifer as Suffolk County executive.
Just because the other guy's been screwing up the last 4 years.
Yeah, and undoubtedly there's been problems there. So you have one guy that's messing up, and you elect the right-to-lifer. Makes a whole lot of sense.
Well, I guess abortion's going to be illegal now because Thomas is in now.
Well, Thomas is in, and...
all you got to do is wait for a case to come up.
That's true. You know, the right-to-lifers are going to be having all kinds of demonstrations in Manhattan real soon. I saw one a couple of weeks ago in front of Toys R Us here in Smith Haven Mall.
Why are they demonstrating in front of Toys R Us?
I don't really know. They had all these signs that said abortion kills children, and they were going all around the store for some reason, or just that particular part of the mall.
Maybe they work for Toys R Us, and they're trying to, like, keep business going, because if there's no kids, there'd be no toys.
I guess, possibly. But, you know, I don't know if Toys R Us supports that kind of thing, or if Toys R Us doesn't support that kind of thing. I don't know if there's any relation whatsoever. But I did hear that Domino's Pizza, supports... anti-abortion groups.
Yeah, the guy gives money, the guy that owns Domino's, gives money to people to go bother abortion clinics.
So every time you order a pizza from Domino's, some of your money goes to anti-abortion groups. That's what I am told.
I never order a pizza from Domino's anyway.
Well, I'm not telling people what to order and what not to order, because everybody is their own individual person, but that is a fact that has been related to me. I'd like to hear other people either back it up or tear it down.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
All right, good luck with your independence drive.
Okay, Trout?
All right, whatever that might mean. 632-6901, it's 12:47 in the morning on a Sunday morning. And David Duke appears to be another great day for him. I guess it was maybe 2-3 years ago that we covered, didn't cover, but we talked about it as it was happening. I think we even called down there. And found out if... All right. I'm getting looks from people. Let's see what the story is ourself, okay? Let's call down to New Orleans and see if we can actually penetrate a busy signal. Looks like we did that pretty easily. I'll try to remain calm here. Listen for sounds of exuberance. They're so exuberant, they can't even pick up the phone. What do you think of that? It's a bad sign. David Duke's election campaign headquarters ringing on the telephone there. And while it's ringing away, let's take a look at this letter in today's New York Times. Duke's past was covered extensively in New Orleans press. Duke's disguise, Jason Berry's article about news coverage of the neo-Nazi David Duke and his gubernatorial campaign, propounds the theory that Mr. Duke's sordid past has escaped press scrutiny. As Mr. Berry, a resident of New Orleans, knows, the facts do not support this contention. I would like to set the record straight as it pertains to the Times-Picayune. Ah. Something happened. Something picked up, but there's nobody there. Maybe we got put on hold or something. It has to be something like that. Our newspaper has devoted substantial time and energy to investigating the background of David Duke, as we do with all major political figures in our state. The following are examples of information about him that the Times-Picayune has developed and was the first to publish. When candidate Duke was describing his involvement with Nazism as a 30-minute stunt, the Times-Picayune on June 25th, 1990, was the first newspaper to quote from 1970-71 internal American Nazi Party bulletins, identifying Mr. Duke as a student organizer for the party. That same article, entitled David Duke Tries to Bury Nazi Past, detailed the full range of Mr. Duke's neo-Nazi activities while a student at Louisiana State University. In a lengthy profile of Mr. Duke published on August 26, 1990, we revealed that Mr. Duke had celebrated Adolf Hitler's birthday into the late 1980s. That same article gave the first published information about how a New Orleans plastic surgeon re-sculpted Mr. Duke's face. And we have campaign headquarters of Mr. Duke, who picked up the phone on the other end but haven't said anything yet. I'm going to send a touch tone down the line, see if that does anything. No, no response. Okay. I'm probably tracing the call right now. I don't know why. Just wanted to see what was going on. An article published on March 22, 1990, reported Mr. Duke had failed to file state income taxes for 1984, 1985, 1986, and 1987. An article on February 2, 1991, reported that Mr. Duke had failed to pay property taxes on his home three times over the last 5 years. An article published on August 9, 1989, revealed that Mr. Duke's nonprofit organization, the National Association for the Advancement of White People, funneled $120,000 into a company Mr. Duke secretly owned. You know, I happened to get a newsletter from the National Association for the Advancement of White People, and it is, boy, the most racist thing you've probably ever seen. Ah, something happened. They hung up. How nice, they hung up on us. Oh, okay. An article, okay, we already read that part. Mr. Berry states that the Times-Picayune ignored tapes and transcripts of interviews of Mr. Duke by Evelyn Rich, a researcher. It was the Times-Picayune that found Evelyn Rich and first revealed the contents of the very 1985 and 1986 Duke interviews that Mr. Berry criticized us for failing to publish. The interviews were quoted extensively in our newspaper last year when Mr. Duke ran for the United States Senate. Among the details we published was Mr. Duke's preposterous assertion to Ms. Rich that the Nazi death camps were erected not to exterminate Jews, but rather to kill lice infesting them. The additional quotations from the Rich tape that Mr. Berry mentioned were already known to the newspaper and were, frankly, less noteworthy than the portions we published. As the Times-Picayune stated in an editorial 2 weeks ago, David Duke has fashioned a livelihood out of exploiting racial hatred and anti-Semitism. His election would truly be a disgrace for Louisiana. Looks like it may be too late for Louisiana. Why Mr. Berry would choose to suggest that our role in covering this demagogue has been passive is a mystery to me. Since Mr. Duke emerged as a political figure in 1989, our newspaper has produced a substantial body of work exposing his political and personal background. We stand by that record. Signed, Jim Amos, editor of the Times-Picayune, New Orleans, October 16th. And yeah, that's the sound of David Duke's phone ringing yet again. Or not his phone, but his election campaign headquarters, I guess. I don't know. See if they pick up and don't say anything again. There's always that possibility. And for those that want to also find out straight from the horse's mouth, as it were, the number is 504-831-7745. But that's not our phone number. Our phone number is a lot closer. 516-632-6901. We want to see those phones light up like little red lights that light up on a phone. Do give us a call and talk to us about whatever is on your mind, whether it's the upcoming elections, dead people that have come back. They picked up again. Okay, now I'm going to just send a regular touch tone down. Here we go. Okay, I'll try a star. No, no, there's nothing there. Well, something is picking up and just being silent. I wish David Duke would do that, but unfortunately he won't. Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You're a serious kind of guy, right?
I'm sorry?
You're a serious kind of guy, right?
I like to think of myself as a serious kind of guy.
Okay, and you always like to stand up in what you believe in, right?
Well, I'm sitting now, but I believe I'm standing up, yes.
Hey, all right, whatever.
Whatever.
I was just wondering if you could help me out here.
I can help anybody. Go ahead.
I'm trying to work on a campaign. I'm trying to take all the salt out of all the oceans because I think the fish are getting high blood pressure.
It's about time, you know. Think how much more water we'd have if there wasn't, you know, being marooned at sea would not be so bad if you could drink the stuff that's all around you.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's a major irony.
Now, the fish would live longer, and there would be more fish because they wouldn't have high blood pressure anymore.
Well, of course, the fish can't drink the water either because you can't drink salted water.
Right.
I had a dog once that tried that, and he got really sick.
Yeah, and then, like you said, somebody was stranded on the ramp. Like, he had a paper in front of me from the Weekly World News that said there was the sea captain of the Titanic was found, and he said that he was drinking rainwater. They found him on a little raft, and he hadn't aged since the Titanic went down.
You mean they found him recently?
Yeah, it was really interesting.
Okay. Well, that is pretty interesting.
I'll send you the article.
He hasn't aged at all. Well, what does he attribute the fact that he hasn't aged in what,
he's
70 years?
They're trying to figure it out.
Uh-huh. I hope they get their best minds on that one.
And I hope so, too, because, you know, it was really interesting. I'm looking forward to the issue that comes out that says why he hasn't aged.
This is the Weekly World News we're talking about.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sure they will be following up that story. They always do
sure,
follow
you know,
up.
They got some pretty good stories in it. Oh, yeah, they also found a mummy in a tree trunk of a tree. They estimated it to be like 10,000 years old, and then you had a time axe that was still ticking.
Uh-huh.
No watch that was still ticking. It was pretty wicked. It was the exact right time, too.
Well, that's quite a revelation.
Yeah, it was very, very interesting.
I wish, you know, I'm trying to get them to subscribe to that here at the station, but no go. You know, I can't seem to get them to do it.
I'll send you guys a copy.
Yeah, do that, please, because all we get here is the Associated Press, and that's, you know, horribly slanted, so the Weekly World News would certainly provide some balance.
You can go on any station that still has them, too.
They do?
Yeah. Any station that still will get them for you.
Really? Okay, I'll have to try that. I never thought of going there. Okay, great.
All right.
I'll remember that. Thanks for calling. 632-6901. Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Port Jeff, right around the corner from our last caller. Hi, Danny.
Hey, Danny. What's up?
Hi. I have a really deep philosophical question for you.
Okay. Deeper the better.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure you heard it before, but what is the sound of one hand clapping?
Ah. I have an answer for that.
Yes?
No, actually, that's not true. That's one hand hitting a microphone, but...
The answer is very simple.
Okay.
Nothing. Silence.
Well, no, that's not true, because, you know, one hand can clap itself. Like that, you see? Kind of hurts, but it works.
Oh, and I'd also like to tell my school chum, Danny, that I would cluck like a chicken for a Klondike. I would cluck like a chicken for a Klondike bar.
Well, that's good. Do you want to maybe do that now, and you'll receive a Klondike bar from Danny or whatever?
Sure.
Go ahead. That's what we're here for.
Cluck, cluck.
I don't think that sounds like a chicken at all.
Sure it does.
I don't know. I don't think you'll be judged very favorably.
Okay. Clock.
Why don't you practice a little bit and call us back later and we'll...
Clock.
No. That's just not acceptable. 632-6901. I can clock better than that. And I don't, you know, do that kind of thing very often. Oh, this is scary, you know? I mean, we're making light of the situation here, but for God's sake, a renowned racist is going to be governor of a state down there. I mean, yeah, I guess we've had it before. I mean, George Wallace was a racist, wasn't he? But even George Wallace, was he ever a member of the Klan? I don't think he was ever a member of the Klan. Did he celebrate Hitler's birthday? You know? You have this situation now where Germany and France have announced this week that they're going to join forces and make a European army. You know, an all-European army. And it's kind of unsettling, I guess, is a word. War is raging in Yugoslavia. The Eastern European nations are in a state of chaos. Nobody knows what's going to happen in the Soviet Union. And Clarence Thomas was elected to the Supreme Court this week. And I just can't stop watching late-night reruns on TV because it's the only source of consolation. God knows people around me aren't being very conciliatory or consolatory or whatever. So you got to look to the electronic media. Electronic media of years ago. Front page of the Times. Ex-Klan chief has even odds in governor's race. And I still don't know if he has won, and we can't go into the Associated Press machine and find out. So we're going to need people to go out there and do our work for us. Turn on CNN, okay? You guys out there, we don't have CNN here. If you can turn on CNN and find out for sure if this guy has won the race, it would be quite a service for us. As the Louisiana governor's race drew near a close yesterday, actually, the politics of this state seemed at first glance to be as murky and meandering as the waters of a delta bayou. Oh, for God's sake, come on, just get on with the story, Roberto Suro, writer for the New York Times. He's lapsing into poetry here. Let's just get on with it. One factor seems most likely to dictate the outcome. David Duke, a former neo-Nazi and grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, has become a major contender in Saturday's open primary by running a campaign that has used code words and symbols like the rising welfare underclass to blame blacks for unemployment, crime, government bureaucracy, and almost anything else he can identify as a threat to what he calls our treasured Christian lifestyle. Yes, David Duke, our treasured Christian lifestyle. Recent public opinion polls indicate the vote Saturday is essentially a three-way heat, with Mr. Duke, a state representative, former Governor Edwin Edwards, and the incumbent governor, Buddy Romer, running close. Regardless of the outcome, so this is actually the election. I was wrong before. This is not a primary. This is the actual election. He could be governor tomorrow. Oh, boy. All right. Let's just be calm here. Regardless of the outcome, this election will be a major test of how racial identities and biases are shaping political loyalties in a major southern state on the eve of a presidential election year. The top two vote-getters will probably meet in a runoff on November 16th. Okay, so it's not completely final yet then. And since none of the three candidates seems likely to receive a majority of the vote on this round. That's what's likely, of course. I guess it's possible that he could win in a landslide and become governor tomorrow. Mr. Edwards, a populist Democrat, is counting on the historical loyalty to his party of black voters, who usually make up 27% of the electorate. Mr. Romer, who switched to the Republican Party last March, is trying to show that a moderate conservative can draw black votes from the Democrats. And Mr. Duke is openly appealing to whites as the only candidate who would truly protect their interests. So far, Mr. Duke has avoided explicit attacks on blacks, and he found a new vehicle for making his point without overt racism in the controversy over the confirmation of Justice Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court. At a campaign rally in the Cajun country of East Louisiana earlier this week, Mr. Duke said, "When I saw Clarence Thomas during some of those hearings, my heart went out to him. The forces that try to destroy his character are the same forces that try to destroy mine.
Oh, thank you very much for saying that. I'm glad he said that.
Mr. Duke then focused his attack on the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, which opposed the Thomas nomination, and noted that both Mr. Romer and Mr. Edwards are members in good standing. Mr. Duke said, "The NAACP is a far-left organization. The NAACP stands for gun control. I believe in the right of law-abiding citizens to bear arms. I believe in the rights to be judged on your merits and not your race." Looking blow-dried and freshly scrubbed, the 41-year-old Mr. Duke campaigns in blue jeans and T-shirts, or in big-shouldered Italian suits. On his lapel, he wears a pin shaped like a fish, an ancient symbol for Christ. He speaks with fervor and sincerity, and there is none of the anger common to the segregationalist politicians who were the heroes of his youth. No one, not even his opponents in this campaign, have made a major issue of his past associations with the Klan and neo-Nazi groups. I ask, why the hell not? Guy is a member of a neo-Nazi group. You make an issue of it, you know? You don't just say, oh, let's let bygones be bygones. I mean, we all do foolish things in our youth, right? I don't think so. I mean, if I was running against somebody and I found out they used to be a member of the Klan, I would definitely make that an issue. Unless I was also a member of the Klan, but I don't think that's the case here. Why are Democrats such wimps? Somebody want to answer that question for me? You know, I've been hearing that term thrown around quite a bit, and it really is true. It really is true, especially during these Clarence Thomas hearings. You know? I mean, the Democrats are just so afraid all the time. They're so afraid of offending the Republicans, offending the president, offending the American people. If only they would just come out and say the things that need to be said and say them loudly and repeatedly. Oh, enough of that, though. Let's get back to this. So none of his opponents have made an issue of his past association with the Klan and neo-Nazi groups. This is a marked contrast to last year's election when Mr. Duke unsuccessfully tried to unseat Senator J. Bennett Johnston, a Democrat. He came pretty close, though. I mean, pretty close as far as I can see. When Mr. Duke showed surprising strength in opinion polls, he was the target of television commercials showing him raising his arm in a Nazi salute at a cross-burning several years earlier. Mr. Duke took 44% of the total vote, 44%, including about 58% of the white vote in that race. "Voters here know about Duke, and they have made up their minds about his past," said Susan Howell, director of the Survey Research Center at the University of New Orleans. "The other candidates are afraid to attack Duke because they worry about a backlash." Same kind of fear that leads to all the tyrannies of history. A survey made public by the center earlier this month analyzed the responses of 745 voters to identify those who favored Mr. Duke even if they would not admit it. The researchers found that some 24% of the voters surveyed favored Mr. Duke, compared to 28% for Mr. Edwards and 30% for Mr. Romer. The sampling error in the survey was plus or minus 4 percentage points. Several factors have combined to spare Mr. Duke the criticism he faced in 1990. Various polls suggest that the two constituencies most likely to oppose Mr. Duke have been divided in the three-way race. Black voters have gravitated to Mr. Edwards, while affluent, highly educated whites are loyal to Mr. Romer. Also, both Mr. Romer and Mr. Edwards must consider the possibility that they will be vying for Mr. Duke's constituents if they eliminate him in the first round of voting and face each other in the second. Harsh attacks on him now would prove counterproductive later, aides to both the Edwards and Romer campaigns said. Finally, from the start of the campaign, Mr. Duke has identified his enemies as outlandish liberals and as nefarious people from out of state. I guess that's us. In a half-hour television campaign advertisement that he is broadcasting repeatedly, and if anybody, any of our listeners down in Louisiana can send me a copy of that, I'd sure like to see that. But I don't know how far our signal is getting tonight. In a half-hour television campaign advertisement, Mr. Duke preempts his potential critics. "They never accuse me of any violence toward minorities. They accuse me only of thought crime, of being politically incorrect, of saying out loud what many say privately. Or of just being a goddamned racist. Mr. Duke reportedly became active with the Klan when he was 16 years old and quit only in 1980. During the 1970s, he worked with the National Socialist White People's Party and openly espoused Nazism. From 1980 to 1990, he was president of the National Association for the Advancement of White People, a group he founded and used as the launching platform for his political career. He remained active in the group. Addressing all white crowds, Mr. Duke has frequently stated that this election is about our way of life surviving in Louisiana and across the United States, identifying the principal threat as the uncontrolled demographic growth of the welfare class. In Louisiana, many people of all races have found their way of life threatened by an economic depression that started with the oil price bust of 1982. Nearly a decade later, in a campaign debate, Mr. Romer tried to put as bright a face in the current situation as he could by saying, "We've stabilized our free fall." Mr. Duke's appeal under these circumstances was evident at a rally in the small town of Kaplan in eastern Louisiana this week. Greg and Kim Verrett, who own a restaurant there, went to see the candidate, and Mrs. Verrett said, "The young voters see Duke as a gladiator." Mr. Verrett, speaking of a friend who had voted by absentee ballot, said, "He said he voted for David Duke, and he wouldn't have said that 2 months ago or 1 month ago. People are becoming more comfortable about this." Interesting state of affairs. 632-6901. That article, by the way, came from Roberto Suro, today's New York Times. Good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead. Hello, wake up.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's it called? I was wondering what your thoughts are on graffiti.
Graffiti? I spent a half hour talking about...
Yes, graffiti.
I spent a half hour talking about David Duke, and you asked me what I think of graffiti?
Yeah.
Well, anti-David Duke graffiti would be nice. Graffiti is a form of expression, but I wish it would say something instead of just being scribbly lines, you know?
Hey.
Like, if you go to the Berlin Wall, of course it's not there anymore, but if you went to the Berlin Wall when it was still up, you'd see meaningful graffiti, you know? And... hey, you've got an expressway wall now, which you know, parallels the Berlin Wall, so all I see there is, you know, hey, we can kick Iraq's ass or something in a war. I mean, that's not really graffiti, that's just sort of mumbo-jumbo, you know, patriotic fervor kind of thing.
I see.
So, yeah, you know, use graffiti not to boast of your own personal prowess or anything like that, but to espouse some ideas, sometimes controversial ideas.
Hey.
What do you think?
I think I'm having a lot of trouble finding a place to put my ideas because nobody seems to understand. When I say graffiti, I mean a mural that says something, either love or hate.
Uh-huh.
They think it's just a bunch of scribbling lines and they don't understand.
Well, if you were a commercial artist hired by the government to put something up and paid lots of money to do it, then it would be art. But if you're an individual person doing something on an individual level, it's a nuisance. Do you understand how it works?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, you know, those aren't your rules.
Clock.
Good clock, but clock. You're getting better, but you got a long way to go, man. Good evening.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Eric, if you can make a better clock than that, then you can come to my house and get the ice cream bar instead of Rick.
By this time, the ice cream bar must be a melted glob of...
If not, then Rick, come on, man. No, I'll give you a calling, bro.
Cluck.
No, better.
Oh, come on. It's better than his.
Well, he did the same thing, though.
Yeah, but I did it better. I mean, he's on the phone. I'm live on the microphone here, so I have to sound better.
Do it one more time.
Cluck. Huh? Come on. That had sort of an intimacy to it.
Let the next caller decide.
All right. Good evening.
Yeah, I want to know if you ever heard anything about that Church of the Creator.
Church of the Creator. Refresh my memory.
It's like some racist organization that calls the Klan and the White People's Party like a waste of time.
No, I mean I've heard of things like that, but do you have anything of theirs?
No, I don't have any. I happen to have their phone number.
Okay, what's their phone number?
407.
407. Hey, that's in Florida, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
Okay, 407.
639.
Yeah.
3215.
3215. What do you get when you call that?
I think you get their office.
Did you get a recording after hours?
I'm not sure. Okay. I haven't called it yet. This is Florida.
Well, you can always try calling a collect and see what picks up, you know?
Oh, I also want to ask you this other question.
Yeah.
I heard about that guy in Texas, right?
Oh, yeah, the little murderer person, right.
Well, to like, reinforce why people should carry guns, and if somebody had a gun, when this guy pulled his out, they could have shot him first.
Well, I guess there is a certain logic to that.
Strict.
That's interesting. I'd like to know, though, why did he have, you know, why is he allowed to have semi-automatic weapons? Why does anybody need that, you know? I mean, I understand what people say when they want to go hunting or something like that, but why does anybody have the right to carry something that can do that kind of, you know, of massacre? Do you think anybody should have that right?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, what's the purpose, apart from killing other people that are using them against other people?
Protection.
Protection. Protection against, I mean, protection against an army or something?
Well, I've lived in Central Islip. And there was this one time where I could have used a fully automatic weapon when I was chased by 10 black people on the street.
Now, why does their color enter into this?
Well, because they were black, and, well, there was 10 people chasing me down the street for no reason. Well,
uh-huh.
The main reason why they were chasing me was because I was white.
They explained this as they were chasing you.
Well, when they were screaming, white boy, beat him up, kick his ass, all that cool stuff, yeah. I was just minding my own business walking down the street. But anyway, if I had a fully automatic weapon, or a semi-automatic, or a gun at all, chances are I could have picked a few of them off.
Well, I think what you're probably doing is creating a very strong argument for gun control right there.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for doing that.
You going to call that White People's Party there? I mean, that Church of the Creator?
Maybe I will.
It seemed like a pretty strange organization. I saw it on TV or something like that.
Where did you see it?
I think it was on Now It Can Be Told or something like that.
Oh, good Lord.
Or Geraldo?
Don't believe anything you see on that program.
Well, they seem pretty strange people.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I imagine they are pretty strange people to show up there.
Give them a call and hear what they have to say.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
All right, bye.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901. Give us a call. Good evening. Good morning, rather.
Yeah, really. It's getting late, isn't it?
It's very late.
I just have something to say. You know, you were a little bit irritated after your little monologue about David Duke.
Yeah, I was irritated.
When the graffiti guy called up.
Yeah.
It's like no, everyone just has something that they want to say, but they aren't listening to what you have to say, and they don't want to go on.
Seems that way, doesn't it?
But you can tie in the graffiti to your little David Duke thing, because you'll never guess what I'm sure you see it. There is all kind of skinhead and racist graffiti around this area.
SIB, you mean?
There's one over, let's see, on some dock over in Stony Brook.
Yeah.
They wrote skins with a big swastika on it. I saw Port Jefferson skins written down somewhere the other day. Now, I agree that racism has got to be stopped, or at least people should realize that it's there and fight against it. But how do you resolve the problem? Should we censor them? Should we allow them to speak or not?
Well, are they speaking or are they just making, you know, kind of rebellious noises?
Kind of babbling and rhetoric. And
I mean, painting a swastika could mean a lot of things. Could mean they're real Nazis, or it could mean they just want to, you know, get some attention and annoy some people. Which do you think it is?
Probably. I think it's more along the lines of they're young idiots in high school who are just hating life, and they blame their situation on the minorities.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, they aren't saying anything, and most of the people that are skinheads or racist or clanners, They're white trash, and they need to focus their anger and hatred on someone. And so, I agree. They have nothing to say. But still, you said that you like graffiti that does espouse some belief, that it says something, right?
Well, yeah, and this does say something. And
something.
The reason I like graffiti that says something is because it stimulates people to say something else. So if you see all this racist banter and horrible things, well, maybe it'll wake you up.
Because it might stimulate someone to fight against it.
Because look what's happening in Louisiana, right? These people are suddenly voting for, you know, a former Klansman. Now they're feeling good about it. And the opponents are too scared to speak out. Now, this is catching people by surprise. Maybe if there was more openness about how people felt in the past,
yeah,
something
could
have happened.
The whole situation in Louisiana amazes me. I fear I won't even go down there myself because I figure I don't look quite right to the standard Louisianan hick, and I might be they might be pulling some kind of deliverance thing if I was down there for more than a week. So Louisiana, the whole place scares me.
Uh-huh.
Now, maybe it is a bad thing that he's elected. But is it going to affect anyone directly? How is it what are going to be the consequences of this? I have a hard time figuring out what's going to happen.
Well, having a state governed by, you know, a renowned racist and Nazi member and Ku Klux Klan person, you know, who knows what kind of legislation is going to come out of that place?
Yeah, but does he really have the power to do that?
Well, he's got a lot more power as governor than he has when he's not governor.
True, I agree. But still, I mean, how much power does anyone really have?
Well, how would you feel as a black person living in Louisiana on a night like this? How would you feel?
I wouldn't feel good as a white person living in Louisiana on a night like this.
Yeah, but as a black person, you'd have a lot more to be afraid of.
Definitely.
I mean, who knows? How many steps away are we from all kinds of hate crimes and lynchings and things like that? Not too far, I don't think.
Not too far, and that's why I guess then graffiti might be good, because maybe it'll open up enough people's minds.
Well, I sure hope there's a lot of graffiti on David Duke's door tomorrow morning. That's what I hope.
I hope there's a lot more than graffiti on David Duke's door tomorrow. Maybe some napalm would be nice.
You know, a lot of ways, graffiti is the only way to express yourself. But, you know, it's such a waste when all you do is just vandalize something. But if you paint something that's controversial, but it gets your point across, then at least you have the chance of reaching somebody else that feels the same way.
True.
It doesn't always have to be something
you're
doing.
It's hard to reach anyone with ideas anymore.
Well, how do you reach people these days?
I don't know. I think your show is one of the few ways you can do anything beyond, I mean, on a small scale. I was thinking, I'm not into politics very much. And the reason for that is because I feel completely powerless. And I tend to worry about everything a little too much. So why should I worry about something that truly I have very, very little power over?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, I was going to ask you, well, why do you get into politics?
Well, I'm not really into politics. I mean, I don't register
well,
with any parties.
More so than I am.
All I do is read the papers.
The papers and keep up.
And that's what I think everybody should do is read
the
papers.
That's what people should do. I agree.
Because once you do that, you realize that there are some rather interesting and rather scary things going on there.
Yeah,
you know?
But I was thinking that, well, maybe you do have more power because of your show. You can actually speak out and say things, and it might, well, unfortunately, it'll be heard by a bunch of Port Jefferson High School guys talking about Klondike bars at 2 in the morning.
No, but those Port Jefferson High School guys have brains, too, and they do think.
No, I agree. I agree. It's just that.
People express themselves in different ways. But,
and they're having a good time, and actually I find them humorous, and the show, a lot of it hinges on humor, doesn't it? So.
Yeah, and you got to keep it, you know, there's nothing worse than people that get all, you know, serious and never let up about it.
No,
I fully agree.
I really liked your discussion of death a little earlier, although I think you tend to have the views that I had a while ago before you actually experienced death in your relatives or your family or other friends of yours who have family members die, things like that. It's a lot harder to joke about it after something like that's happened. But I agree. I mean, the humor, you laugh at things you don't understand and that you fear.
Well,
do we really fear death?
You might laugh at things you no longer fear.
Because I have no clue what's beyond life here. I mean, so.
And nobody does. You see, and that's the beauty of it, is the fact that every person that's ever walked on this earth has no idea what's going to happen after they leave.
Except half of them think they do.
I know. Most of them think they do. But, I mean, I don't think anybody really knows for sure.
No one does.
Comfort in knowing that they think they know, but that's all they can do.
You can't know whether it's the best thing that can happen to you, the worst thing, so why worry about it?
Right. Once you realize that nobody has a clue what's going on here, then you can inject some humor into it.
True.
And you feel good about it, too.
But I've decided the only real loss in a death is the loss to others. I mean, it's the pain that others feel.
That's
and
true.
And in that way, it's not humorous at all.
I mean, you're never going to know if you're dead, right? So
No.
I totally agree that,
I mean, I could die tomorrow and I wouldn't care.
But you wouldn't know. And so you're immortal because as long as you have consciousness, you know that you're alive.
Yeah.
So you'll always be alive in your mind.
Yeah, but the only thing that really keeps you, that makes me want to live is knowing that although I might die tomorrow, and although I wouldn't feel it, and I wouldn't know that everyone would grieve or anything, chances are, the probability is very high that it would cause a lot of people pain. So I think, I don't know, I'm just...
There's always a possibility nobody will care, too, you know? But you don't want to be around to be disappointed.
Yeah, I'd like to think that won't happen, but, it's true. There is a probability.
Well, fake your death, okay, and find out how people react. Then you'll have a good idea, and then you can live your life out knowing how people
react.
Yeah,
that's why it would be interesting to actually die and then come back like all those cases you had there.
It's amazing, though, when you do come back after you die, people don't always welcome you with open arms. In fact, sometimes they
that
run
was great
quite,
about
quite
the
fast,
Romanians or something. The family just ignored, well, the wife thought he was a ghost, and the kids said, keep away from your grandchildren. that's depressing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's...
well, but I guess
they
that's in a somewhat, well, more simple country than ours, or I don't know. Maybe that was a while back. I don't know when that was written, or I don't know. Was it a small village in 1909 or
no,
something?
No, actually,
like?
it was after Ceausescu fell, so it was pretty recently.
Oh, it was recent?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it could still be a small village.
It still could be a small village, yeah, that's true. But I don't know, you know, small
backward
villages are endemic to this kind of thing.
Anyway.
Have you ever had any near-death experiences?
Near-death experiences? No. You know, my uncle lived out here about 10 years ago on Long Island. He was teaching at the university. And some weird stuff went on there at his house. He lived on some... I need to find out exactly where he lived and track down that old house.
Some weird stuff happened. Okay, you got to tell us about this.
Yeah. They, no near death, but some really weird stuff happened. And when he moved in, like, the room that the woman who lived in the house before him, she was born in one room and died in the same room. Okay, and when they moved in, that room was bolted from the inside and the window was locked from the inside. And they had to take the door off to get into it. That's a little bit weird.
Did they find the body of the person that had
locked
the door?
Oh, no bodies. That would make it a lot more interesting.
Well, now, how could they lock the door from the inside and lock the window from the inside and get out of the room? That's what I want to know.
They can't. And so, and my uncle, you know, he's not the kind of guy that would just sit here and make this stuff up.
I'm not accusing your uncle of you know.
Oh no, I'm not accusing you of accusing my uncle of anything.
I don't even know your
uncle.
He could be
saying that he is a pretty credible source. So this is why I find it interesting. Otherwise, I would just say, yeah, right. He's just telling me some old story. But then he, all kinds of the lights would be left on at night, and they'd be off in the morning, or doors would be wide open. The front door was wide open once. And
you're saying
like
that these ghosts are energy conscious?
Either that or it could have been his caretaker. His caretaker went pretty much mad right before he moved out and started cursing them, throwing rocks through the windows, and going completely wiggo. And
maybe they turned the lights off then.
And they, yeah, maybe the caretaker went wiggo and snuck around in the house and locked up everything. That's probably the case, but still.
Went wiggo?
Went wiggo, yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's a good phrase. I want to write that one down. I never heard that one before. How do you spell that?
It would be like W-I-G-G-O.
I like that. I like that a lot.
It comes from British tend to use the word wigging, or he's loopy, he's wigging, or you say you wig out.
Uh-huh. Loopy, I've heard.
Loopy, yeah.
Wiggo.
I heard it somewhere. I don't know. It's just kind of stuck in my head.
Speaking of wiggos, good night, Arnie.
You went wiggo.
Ah, you left your keys here.
Aardvark.
Aardvark, yes. So any other stories out of this old house?
No, actually. It's probably just his wiggo caretaker that did it. But anyway, there are some strange stories that you have a hard time really figuring out what could happen that might...
Well, I'll be honest with you. I wish there were more such stories that we had a hard time figuring out.
Yeah,
really
it's a lot of fun, actually.
I think too much is rationalized these days. And
generally, very strangely enough, varied ethnic groups. And the politics are usually played in what's called communalism, where they play one ethnic group against another, i.e. Willie Horton. So it sort of legitimizes a group in power, and they're generally more right-leaning political, whereas homogeneous areas, such as a lot of European countries, left-leaning sort of socialist parties do better just because people don't have the ethnic divisions as much, and they concentrate on material aspects as to why are conditions worse, and they can't blame it on a group.
Well, they seem to be doing a pretty good job of that in Germany right now.
Yeah, well, they're no longer, Europe isn't as homogenous, and there are other factors in it now, but just historically over the last 200 years, pretty much, before the Cold War, quote-unquote, ended, you can pretty much see it works out pretty consistently. But, yeah, actually, I have a riddle for you.
Okay, I like riddles.
Okay, well, here's a little story. This monk walks up a mountain at sunrise from the bottom of it, and around sunset gets up to the top of the mountain. And while walking up, he sort of goes at his own pace, you know, walks fast and slow, takes a random number of breaks, depending on his mood. That's how monks are. And the following day at sunrise, he walks down to the mountain and gets there around sunset. Can you prove that at least once that monk is in the same place at the same time of day?
Well, he always starts at sunrise.
Yeah, and then gets to the other end of the mountain. And there's only one path that he walks up and down.
And he always starts right at sunrise.
Yeah, and finishes at sunset. That isn't really quite that important.
Okay.
Sunrise is important starting, but it pretty much takes the same time to get up or down.
Okay, so your question is?
Can you prove that he ends up, that there is like at least one time and place that the monk is at? Like the monk is at the same place in the path up or down the mountain at the same time of day.
Well, let's see, if he starts at sunrise, the sun rises, right now the sun is rising a little bit earlier, now a little later every day.
Well, just think.
So he'll be starting a few minutes later every day, and
well, no, just assume sunrise is about the same time. Like, it would only change a couple minutes, so it has no meaning in this problem.
Oh, okay,
it
has no meaning.
If it did 6 months or something, it might be, actually he waited a couple months, it might be different, but
okay,
the same day, it's.
So you're asking for solid proof. Well, if you see the guy leaving to go up the mountain or whatever, it's, you know, is that good enough proof?
Well, you don't know that when he walks down, he would be in the same place at the same time of day as when he walked up. Or how would you know that? Can you prove that?
When you see him coming down?
Yeah. Like, let's say he was walking up and he was hypothetically at point A at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when he was walking down, he was also at point A.
Okay. Well, I guess I give up. I don't know.
Well, you could try having people call, and maybe if I can get through next week, or...
You're going to leave us hanging for a whole week on this? No, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Oh, it's real simple.
Well, how about if you follow the guy? That would prove just about everything, wouldn't it?
No, no, just superimpose, like, the same monk walking up and walking down, and he would have to meet somewhere. And that's the point where at the same time, in the same place, they would have been, where they would meet.
What, where the monk would meet himself?
Yeah, like, let's say the monk walking down, you know, you just could magically transport him 24 hours earlier, but he didn't know that, so he would bump into himself walking down, let's say.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm open to all kinds of things, but
well, it's
I don't think
it's a hypothetical. The only way you can prove it is just kind of trace them walking up and down at the same time.
Wait, are we talking about two different monks here?
No, the same monk.
The same monk. So, I mean, you know, based on everything that I've ever learned in my life, I just don't think it's possible for the monk to meet himself coming down the mountain.
Well, it's hypothetical because you want to be able to actually prove that he was in the same place of the mountain at the same time of day when he was walking up as when he was walking down.
Yeah, I think what you've done now is you found the point where my mind just stops working because I can't fathom any of this.
It's 1:30 in the morning.
Well, it's not. No, it doesn't matter if it's 1:30 in the afternoon. I cannot fathom this kind of talk. I mean, it's just, you know, my mind goes in circles and loops and starts canceling itself out. So I hope maybe somebody else out there can help me with this. And you're really not going to tell us the answer, huh?
I just did.
You did?
Yeah, but I'll get off the phone so somebody else can get through. I hear the phone ringing.
Yeah, it is ringing. Okay. Oh. Thanks so much for doing that to us. As much as really perplexed-looking people walking around the studio, so at least I know it's not just me. Is it? No, it's not just me. I hate those kind of things. I mean, I hate those kind of things. I really do. I'm going to try to forget about this, monks walking up and down mountains. All right, something a little bit more down to earth. Did you hear the news about the Brady Bunch? Huh? While we, as innocent Americans, are watching the Brady Bunch, there was a hot, steamy love affair going on between the oldest brother and the mother. That's right. Television incest. I guess it wasn't really incest since they weren't really related. You know, come to think of it, even if they had an affair on the show, it wouldn't be incest because they weren't related on the show either. If you recall, you know, it was the story of a man named Brady who was busy with three boys of his own or something like that, which sounds kind of weird. And they met two separate halves of the family. But Barry Williams, who played eldest son Greg on the Brady Bunch, said his relationship with his TV mom took a different guise off the screen. Williams dated Florence Henderson, who played mom Carol Brady, while they were working together on the series. And how do we know this? Because it was acknowledged on the Geraldo Show, yesterday's Geraldo Show, yes. And the sitcom ran from 1969 to 1974. And at the time, Williams was too young to drive. So his older brother served as a chauffeur for the rendezvous. He's now 37, she's now 57. The TV tyke and his sitcom stepmom took in a show at the Ambassador Hotel, they said. I think we went from being mother and son to having a crush on each other to being friends, Henderson said. A lot of questions left unanswered in that article, but hopefully we'll find out more details about that. Maybe on Phil Donahue or something. Well, if that hasn't lit up the phones, that lit up phones more than David Duke did. I mean, it's good to know. We know where our priorities are. Good morning.
Yes. I will personally deliver a Klondike bar if you bark like a dog.
No, I don't do barks.
Send her out there, barks like a dog, be the address, and I'll personally go to that and deliver him a Klondike bar.
Sir, do you get a commission on these Klondike bars?
Yes, I do.
I understand now. And you make people do weird things for them.
Right.
Well, I guess that's your right as a God-given American.
And tell Rick that he's not cooking good. Tell him to cool back up, and if he meows like a cat, I'll give him two.
If he meows like a cow?
A cat.
A cat, okay, that's better.
I'll give him two Klondike bars.
Okay.
Okay,
that's a
thank
deal.
You.
Yeah. What kind of public service are we fulfilling here? Good morning.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to get the Klondike bar thing.
Well, I guess you guys should hook up then, huh?
Yeah. Can I go for mine?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Klondike bars for a cat?
Yeah, do whatever you have to do.
Okay.
That's supposed to be a cat, huh?
Yeah, what's my... I have to give him my address or what?
Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm not a medium here for Klondike bars. You're going to have to somehow get a hold of this other guy and get it from him. Maybe you can meet in a parking lot or something. You know?
Okay, I think that was pretty stupid. I was just kidding around.
You're just kidding around?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't kid about that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true. It's not really funny.
Well, no, it's a serious issue. I mean, there's a guy out there who's taking this very seriously, and you're making jokes.
Hey,
we're
going to give away Klondike bars, and I'm messing with them.
All right. Well, from here on in, we don't say Klondike bars anymore on the radio, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Ice cream bars.
That's fine. Generic ice cream bars.
Okay, you were talking about skinheads before?
They came up in conversation, yeah.
I think they're pretty stupid. I don't know. They're not because what they're talking about. They really didn't research what they're talking about.
Who didn't research what who was talking about?
Skinheads. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just a bunch of...
Now, wait a minute. Now, we say skinheads are racist, but if we say that, doesn't that make us kind of racist in a way, too? Because not everybody who calls themselves a skinhead thinks the same way, right?
That's true, but...
I mean, it's not a skinhead ideology as far as I know. I mean, Nazis, yeah, they believe in a certain thing. But do skinheads all believe in the same thing? I mean, a lot of them don't even call themselves skinheads, but maybe they look like skinheads because they shave their heads. You're saying if you shave your head, that makes you, you know, stupid?
Okay, those people with shaved heads that just happen to think that they're Nazis, that wear combat boots and camouflage pants and beat up black guys.
See, I don't care what people wear or how they look, but if they do certain things and believe in certain things, yes, that's grounds to call them stupid or other things.
Okay, the fools. You know who I'm
referring to. Yeah, I think I know who you mean.
They really didn't research the whole Nazi issue. They just think that whatever they see on TV or Geraldo is true. And I have more respect for the people that I know that just happen to be believers of the Nazi kind of thing.
Do you know many people that believe in the Nazi kind of thing?
Well, not strict believers, but they looked into it, you know.
Well, what were their conclusions?
They concluded pretty much the same thing, except that they knew what was really going on, not what the idiots think that was going on.
Uh-huh. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
They found out that the Nazis were screwing up, you know, just not doing anything close to being cool, except for almost taking over the world, but...
Which is the ultimate coolness, right?
It's pretty powerful.
Uh-huh.
What?
Okay, continue.
And these guys just think that the whole Nazi party thing is about beating up foreigners. And goose stepping and thinking Hitler's a nice guy.
Uh-huh.
They're just not looking into what they want to know about. If you want to become one of whatever you want to do, even like a Christian, you might as well look into what you want to know about.
Well, everybody should learn about what they are investigating, whether they intend to be part of it or not.
Yeah, you shouldn't jump in head first not knowing what's behind there.
That's a good rule to live by.
Yeah.
Have you ever jumped headfirst into something without ever knowing what it was?
Yeah, some stuff, but nothing real serious.
Uh-huh. I mean, you know, there's people out there, they go to church, they don't know why, they just do it because everybody else does.
Yeah, just because they think it's going to get them into heaven.
Or they go to a certain school because they think that it's going to make them happy and everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
Or they shop at a certain store, or all kinds of things like that. They hang out with a certain crowd.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I had to say. Good.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay.
632, I cut him off in the past. 632-6901, area code 516. Listen, folks, I'd like for you, somehow, to go out there, find out if David Duke won, because our teletype has broken down again, and we have no way of finding out ourselves. So I rely on our listeners to give the word to us, whether you can call... you know, a news agency or watch CNN or something like that. Just let us know. And please tell us the truth, too, because, yeah, you could lie on the air and get a lot of people upset. But, you know, let's see how reliable our I hear the teletype going, but that doesn't make any sense because there's no ribbon on the thing. So it's just printing on a blank piece of paper. I'll check that out. You check your end, and we'll meet in about a minute and a half. car bomb. All right. No possibilities at all. Well, I've managed to actually go in and while the teletype is sort of working, it's not really printing very well, and there's ribbon all over the place. So about every other letter is readable. So this might be kind of hard to read, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try very hard here to update everybody because we have a mission. Oh no, it comes off of my fingers too if I touch it. So I have to not touch the ink either. Okay, it's still a tight race in Louisiana's gubernatorial primary, BBT. I don't know what BBT means, but that's definitely, that's printed very clearly. It says BBT, so BBT with, okay, here's a number. It's either 0%, which I don't think it is, or 68%, or maybe 66%, or maybe 88% of the precincts reporting former Governor Edwin Edwards leads with 33% of the vote, followed by, this is like Miss America, isn't it, ex Klansman David Duke, okay, I didn't have to read that part, I knew that one, with 31%. Current governor, Buddy Romer, who said it would be a nightmare if Edwards and Duke won the primary spots, is in third with 28%. 28% of the vote, or maybe 20. And that's it. That's the story. Okay, I successfully managed to translate the Associated Press machine that we have out there. So, okay, if I can interpret that, it means that Duke is not leading, but he's very close. And he's at least in second place, which means he's probably going to qualify for the runoff in November, which means he'll be one of two people running. So who knows what's going to happen? I certainly don't. Good evening.
Hi, what's up?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Would you like to hear a really good joke?
Only if it's funny.
It's very funny. And it's clean.
And clean, yes.
Actually, it's not clean, but it doesn't have any, doesn't contain any foul language.
Well, okay. Does it contain specific references to sexual or excretory functions?
Not particular. All right, here we go. What did the elephant say to the naked man?
Let's see. Okay, I don't know about the elephant part. What did the elephant say to the naked... okay, what did he say?
How do you breathe out of that thing?
That's kind of interesting. Okay. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Don't hang up.
Okay, what do you have anything else on your mind besides that?
I was just saying that it really hurts me deep down inside that Danny would actually give a Klondike bar to someone who doesn't meow.
Someone who doesn't meow. Well, I guess there's lots of people out there that fit that qualification.
How did
this get started?
Meow.
This is out of control now. This is completely out of control. 632-6901. When I was in high school, okay? When I was in high school, I watched television on Saturday night. I didn't listen to the radio. Kids these days, I don't know what's going on. I'd watch Saturday Night Live, and then I'd watch... Didn't Second City used to come on after Saturday Night Live, and then there was something else after that? And I mean, come on, that's where high school people belong, on TV, not radio. Radio is for elementary school people and college students. There's that gap in between. Good morning.
I said, excuse me?
Good morning, I said.
Yeah,
it's a greeting, you know, it's what people say in the morning.
Yeah, here you go.
I'm sorry? Hello?
Hello, man.
How you doing?
What's up?
What's up? Not a whole lot. At 1:47 in the morning, there's not much up at this place.
Yeah, but there's a few people up, and they heard what you said. Yo, you're talking stuff about SIB being Nazi skinheads?
Yeah?
You got to say on the air that they ain't.
Okay, well, why don't you say it?
What?
Why don't you say it? Tell us how you feel.
I mean how I feel?
Tell them.
Tell us. Go ahead. Where are you calling from, first of all?
Sorry?
Where are you calling from?
Belport.
Belport?
Yeah, Belport.
Cool. I like getting listeners out there.
Nazi skinheads, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're not Nazi skinheads.
Oh.
Okay. Well, now, why do people think they are?
I don't know. You tell me. You're the one that thought it.
Well, I didn't think it. I was broadcasting.
You brought it up as soon as that kid said something about Nazis.
Well, okay,
didn't
yes.
You?
SID has gotten a reputation. Now, I don't know how they've gotten this reputation, but every time there's a discussion about Nazi skinheads, somebody mentions Strong Island Boys.
Well,
now, why do you think that is?
What?
Why do you think that is?
I have no idea.
Are you? Do you know anybody in that group? Are you affiliated with that group?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Okay, well then tell us. This is a valuable opportunity for us to hear, you know, to hear what you guys have to say.
Here you go.
Come on.
No, you got us all wrong, bro.
Okay.
No, sorry.
It's all right. I understand how it gets on Saturday nights.
That wasn't me.
I figured that out, yeah.
I just don't want to be affiliated with any kind of racial prejudice, any kind of, you know, violence prejudice, because that's not what we are about. And I don't know. I don't like, you know, you assumed on the air in front of everybody, you know, when that guy brought up about Nazism.
All right. Perhaps I perpetuated a myth.
You did.
Okay. I can accept that.
You're ignorant, you know.
I'd like to be able to correct that. You know, I'd like to be able to hear from you guys and hear where you're coming from.
Tell me what you're about.
How many of you are there, first of all, right there?
That's an unmentioned number.
An unmentioned number. Okay, well, we certainly don't want to give that out.
No, it's not that there is a number.
Uh-huh.
Count or whatever. You know.
I didn't mean how many people are in that particular room right now, you know.
Oh, seven.
Okay.
Eight.
Okay, so seven of you hanging out together out in Belport.
Yeah.
And
And I overheard something that you said on the air and I didn't like it.
Okay, well, I'm glad you called.
Yeah.
I'm very glad you called, because when people hear things I don't like, they should call. I mean, when people hear things that I say that they don't like, they should call. Okay, to the uninitiated masses out there, what do the Strong Island Boys mean? What are they all about? What do you guys do?
Don't do anything.
You just hang out?
Yeah.
Skateboarding and all that?
Skateboarding. No.
You don't do skateboarding? No?
Nah,
surfing?
I don't know. Just we all chill, you know. It's a bunch of people that chill out.
Yeah, you hang out in malls?
Nah. A little above that.
Okay.
We've hung out at your radio station a couple of times.
I've been there a few times.
You've been here a few times. Well, that's cool.
No, just, I don't know. It's nothing, man. It's just, you know, yeah, it's just people who look out for people, you know?
What's the general age range here?
Anywhere from 17 to 25.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
And what kind of music do you listen to?
You mentioned it, anything. I was at a blues club last night in the city, right, E? Right there, the blues club last night, you know. And, I don't know, it's just anything. Whatever.
So, are you a non-violent group or a violent group?
Oh, we've been portrayed as very violent, but, you know, only when necessary, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, when is it necessary?
I don't know. Whenever needed, you know, like, yeah, when you need someone, when someone's there for you, you know.
But can you give me an example of when it's been necessary to be violent? Like an example in your life.
If a bunch of people jump your friend, you know, and beat him down.
Does that happen often?
Actually, yes, it does, because there's other groups that also, you know, there's other groups out there besides, you know.
What are some of the other groups?
EBP, the A-Ball Posse, I don't know who they are yet, but...
Yeah?
Find out, you know.
So are these like gang wars going on in Long Island?
No, not actually. It's not like we go to the end of an alley and meet each other and say, yo, let's do this, you know?
Yeah?
But, I don't know, it's a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
Do what they want, you know, and call themselves who they want.
Uh-huh.
and do what they got to do, you know?
Okay. Are the Strong Island Boys, are they localized, or are they all throughout Long Island?
Throughout Strong Island.
Strong Island. Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throughout.
Uh-huh.
And to NYC, you know?
Well, I hope we hear positive things from you guys.
You won't hear nothing.
We're going to clean the walls.
Okay, positive things or nothing at all. I just hope we don't hear negative things.
Just don't portray negative things.
Okay, it's a deal.
All right.
632-6901. And, of course, any of our listeners are free to voice their opinions in any way. Good morning.
Yeah, this is about those SIB guys. I want to know...
Sounds like you're about to start an argument, but go ahead.
I just want to know, why... Don't they have anything else to do besides go around the entire Strong Island and write their name all over the place? I want to get some real jobs or something, you know?
Well, maybe they're getting paid to do it. I don't know.
It's just, I mean, you told about graffiti before. That's scribbly lines. It's not no art.
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, there could be a bigger message in, you know, okay, it's a signature on a wall. It would be nice if there was a bigger message attached to it.
Once they put, like, some big mural, that might be all, but just to write, scribble SIB.
Well, okay, perhaps if people weren't always chasing you when you're writing graffiti, you'd have time to paint a mural.
Well, what the hell is the point of, writing this stuff anyway? We just leave the wall blank.
Well, because then you can look at it and say, hey, I was there.
Who cares?
Well, you know how some people take pictures everywhere they go? These people leave imprints everywhere they go.
I don't see no gangs thing on here. I mean, what the hell is the point of being around anyway?
Uh-huh.
Any gang, not just them. I mean, they're just going around starting trouble. I mean, if it wasn't for, you know, if they'd ever formed, their buddies would have never had to get jumped.
Oh.
They wouldn't have gotten the violence. And if they're so worried about keeping their image clean, why don't they do some community service or something?
Well, perhaps they think that's what they're doing. In a different kind of way. I mean, what is a community, you know? Community is a group of people. It's not, Port Jefferson or Smithtown or whatever. It's what you make it.
Doesn't seem to be too many communities left, because it seems to me that everybody wants to be separated.
Well, the concept of community is changing, I think.
There's a new group forming up, whether it be the 8-Ball Posse or LOD or SIB or...
L-O-D?
U-T or...
Wait, what's that L-O-D reference?
Legion of Doom.
What do you mean, Legion of Doom? There's no Legion of Doom around here, is there?
Yeah, that's the CI Posse of L-O-D. Another bunch of cornball coons.
No. Legion of Doom, no. That name's taken, I'm sorry. Good evening.
Hi. Yes, I'd just like to say that anyone who's affiliated with a gang... SIB included, I think they're all a bunch of sissies. They have low self-esteem. And I think when they write SIB on the Long Island Expressway, it looks really weak. And that they should hire some graffiti artists from the city or Port Jeff to teach them how to write SIB.
Hire some graffiti artists? That's
cool letters. And stylish, wild style letters, such as Port Jeff writers. Because we're really cool. And the 8-Ball Posse's dissing on them hardcore.
Do I sense a certain good-natured rivalry here?
8-Ball Posse's taking over them because they're a bunch of sissies. SIB, you're gone.
All right. Maybe it's not so good-natured after all. Good morning.
Hi. I'm just calling. I'm not really want to get into this whole SIB conversation.
I'm sure you don't.
But no, really. I just want to say something because I know the guy that you were talking to about SIB.
Okay.
That was for them.
Yeah.
And I just want to get this message to him. I've been trying to call him for a while, and I can't get through to him because he's never home. And, just that Melissa said
so
hi.
So you're going
to
use 4,000 watts of FM radio power to convey your message to this person out there in Bellport. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. No problem at all. Think of us as your personal answering service here. Yeah, you can leave messages. I'll write them down, leave them in my mailbox, and I'll come in and read them the next week. How's that? No problem at all. We're happy to serve here.
Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Hi.
632-6901. Good morning.
Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Okay. I'm wondering, are there any Strong Island women? Because I heard some in the background. At least I thought I heard.
Yeah, it's not, but, you know, at that age, perhaps people's voices are still changing. I don't know. You know, far be it from me to judge, you know, who these people are or what their agendas are.
This is something totally new to me. I've seen that those letters around, and I just figured it was somebody who was looking for a sibling or, you know, something like that. But
no, it does not stand for SIB. No, it's no, that's it's different.
I wanted to get back to the death thing and the David Duke thing, because I do think they're
closely related. Yes.
First of all, it seems to me that the big problem with David Duke is that he somehow along the line revealed something about his past which might hurt him politically, although it doesn't seem to be hurting him very much.
No, it doesn't. That's the frightening thing, you know, that something like this does not hurt anymore.
Because I'm wondering how many people in Congress, when you see things that aren't getting passed through, like extending employment benefits, when we've got a majority of so-called Democrats in Congress, and we've got Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court with a so-called majority of Democrats in the Senate, how many of the people who really claim to be liberal really are?
I know, they're wimps. And I'll say it again, they're wimps, these Democrats. They just, they don't stand up and fight. You know, and I respect people that stand up and fight for what they believe in. But when people perform self-censorship on themselves because they're afraid of what they say is going to be interpreted, I lose all respect for them then, you know?
When is there... I mean, nothing stays the same. Things always change. We've seen it recently, dramatically, in the Eastern Bloc and in the Soviet Union. When is it going to change here?
I don't know. But it seems like it's going to get worse before it gets better.
It seems to me that with this movement in Louisiana, if you try and picture it 20 years down the line, are we just getting ourselves ready for some kind of race war or some kind of...
I don't think so. You know, I think actually relations between races are fairly good if you ask the average person. But if you ask the media and if you ask a lot of the politicians and a lot of the so-called activists, you'll get a totally different perspective. But if you ask, you know, the average person in the street, I think we've made a lot of progress.
You're right. I think you're right.
Yeah, and I, you know, that should not be ignored or made smaller than it actually is.
Which kind of gets back to what's been talked about for the past 20 minutes on the show, which is that somehow when people join up in groups where they give themselves a title and an agenda, they seem to be counterproductive.
That's true. Yeah. I don't mind groups that allow you to be an individual, but groups that strip away your individuality, that's something that should go against what you know, everybody stands for.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
Like, I'm going to start a group to oppose that kind of thing, but never mind.
But in a way, though, the kind of group think is that it pushes towards a uniformity which shouldn't exist.
Well, uniformity is a convenient thing to have. Because you won't have very many troublemakers if everybody thinks the same thing, right?
Yeah, which is the essential feature of a group with its own title and its own agenda.
Yeah. Listen, sir, we're out of time. But
just get one question in there.
Get one question in, then we got to go.
One question only. Do you think strict vegetarianism is actually a compensation for a fear of death? And I'm going to hang up and listen to your response. Goodbye.
Well, I don't know if I have a response to the strict vegetarianism is a... I don't... What a question to leave somebody with at 2 in the morning. No, I don't think so. I got even. We can talk about this next week. The big guy is here. We're going to be doing all kinds of crazy things into the morning hours. I want to thank everybody who called up and participated. And we'll be back again next week, 12 to 2, with another exciting edition of Brain Damage. Good night.